When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
It's the drugs from my generation. And it's a sin to God, the fake, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of Dom,
bro.
The new day.
Let me talk to you,
baby.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the Dipper Dots.
Move to the music, play like music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be my main Lego man indeed, DPP.
Ooh, do you hear? Can you hear that? That silence? Did you hear that? DPP's a bachelor this weekend, PC.
What's that, DP? You're a bachelor this weekend.
That's right. All quiet here in the Thunderdome, except for me rolling around with the cats. And, going to find some stuff to do.
You're rolling around with some pussy this weekend, DP?
Well, maybe Brother Joe and I have to come over for the Elimination Chamber then. Who knows?
There you go.
Well, it not only DP, you hear the voice of our best friend of the shoe, DP.
Oh, you're my best friend.
That's right. If it's a big WWE PLE, you know we are joined by best friend of shoe, our bestie, none other than the lawyer, Dave Ungar, my main 2K PGA man. We're going to be a lot of virtual rounds this summer, Dave, you and I.
Oh, were we recording that whole time? I'm sorry, DP. About you rolling around with
no, that part's gonna get edited out.
Why? That's no fun.
Just to pull back the curtain, Dave, we kind of kicked the conversation back into where it was when I decided to restart the Skype call because
DWI 465 rolling with the pussy.
Rolling with the pussy. Any different than the last 460 episodes, Dave? Let me tell you, they came fast and furious at the beginning. And they've never left. we're like the Beatles. No, we're not. But I'm happy you're here. First thing I want to say is I want to promote a couple of things that are happening on the network. There's two super exciting things that are happening. It's March. Tomorrow, as you listen this Friday morning to the 465th edition of the DWI podcast, and Villain Madness has started on Bandwagon Nerds. The current play-in 16 seed matchups are out. Go to @BandwagonNerds and vote. Or just go to @PCTunney and scroll down. Mine, I got the voting system up there, too. Go to @AttitudeAg to vote as well. You can go to Dave, @AttitudeAg, @AttitudeAGG, or you can go to @BandwagonNerds. The polls are both up there. We're going to combine them, and we're going to see who's going to get shellacked in the first round by these number one seeds.
Yeah, exactly. speaking with Ray, there may be some refinements to the system coming, but that's okay. You know, we gotta. I mean, these first play-in matchups aren't exactly the type of matchups that are going to get the juices flowing, so to speak. They're really for the true total nerds of the world who look at this thing. It's not like Joker's involved. All right, I know who he is.
When we get to like the Elite Eight, and you've got the top from each bracket going to try to get to the final four. That's where you're going to be. The other huge thing that's going on, and all you got to do is scroll back to yesterday's drop on Chairshot Radio Network. Pod is War is back. Los Trace Friends, Ray Cash, Andrew Belaz, and PC Tunney all up in your earballs once again. Plenty of NFL talk, Elimination Chamber predictions, except for mine. I hold those for here. And just a few entertainment notes as well. More entertainment notes, a few melancholy happy trails will be had on Bandwagon Nerds this Sunday. And one interesting developing story that we're not going to talk about here today. But DP, this is DWI 465. Let's let everybody know what's happening this week on our shoot.
Well, we're waiting. Well, it's the big
show. Is there more than the Elimination Chamber sheet?
There is. There's just a couple things.
There is.
We got a quick couple Lego drops we want to just have a brief conversation about. Then we got the Elimination Chamber. Then we are going to briefly discuss in Last Call SI dropping their top 10 WWE women of all time list. So stick around for that. Right now, we're going to take a commercial break. But before we do that, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Pick yourself up a t-shirt. Plenty of great designs. Get it in soft style. Spend a couple bucks more, you cheap bastard. It's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Makes a great gift, too.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
DP, ring the bell. There's a 3-foot Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton coming out, Dave. Lego set. Yep. I just want to see your face. DP, talk to me about it.
I saw this set coming out and never realized that it was actually 3 feet long. That's pretty impressive. You know, it would make a nice centerpiece for Thanksgiving, maybe. I don't know where you go with that.
I think the dinosaurs were well past long before the first Thanksgiving dance, so I don't know what they have to do with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah. You ever seen Jurassic Park? I don't know.
There's no pilgrims in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know where
there are no utensils in medieval times, hence there are no utensils in medieval times.
Ring the bell. Steven, you son of a bitch.
The password is
Foreskin. It's Foreskin. That's a great movie. I haven't watched that one in a while. The basketball warm-up is the best. Jack Black is in that movie too, guys. Everybody forgets that Jack Black is,
right? Yeah, isn't he like the friend trying to talk reason into Steven?
Definitely.
Which raises some real questions. Jack Black is the voice of reason in anything? What the hell?
I was always blown away
when I watched Jim Carrey in that movie as the cable guy use the remote control like this. I was like, holy shit, man, that's fucking crazy. It's the over-the-top method, folks. Anyway, yes, a 3 foot long. Is there anything on here about how many pieces? That's got to be bigger than 3,145 piece set. Yeah, that's pretty solid.
That's good.
That's pretty solid. Because I'm looking over here at the Black Panther set that I have, and it's the heaviest Lego set I've ever picked up in my life.
How many pieces, Tony? 3,145?
Yeah, and my Black Panther one I haven't done yet is 2961.
So that's like at least 3,140 pieces too many for me to actually be successful.
How many pieces can you do in an hour, Dan? I can probably do about 200, maybe 250.
I have honestly never paid attention to how long it takes, but it also would depend on the type of pieces too. You know, if you're doing like. Like when I had to do the Taj Mahal or whatever, all the tiny one by one squares, like that was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, the architecture ones are a little bit more difficult. I've been doing just a lot of helmets, and those are like 450 to 700 pieces. And even the closest 700 ones, I can get done in under 3 hours.
Yeah. I did recently, right behind me there, the Atari 2600 set over there. I think that one took like an hour and a half.
A lot of longer pieces on that, though.
Yeah, it's a lot of bigger pieces, which is nice. Pretty easy build.
And then the other big set that's coming out, not big in terms of size, but big in terms of my own personal specific Lego Star Wars collection, is the AT-AT pilot helmet is coming out, which looks fucking awesome. DP, when are we going to Video Game Con or whatever the hell it's called?
It's first week of April.
Okay, first so that's coming April. Up.
Holy Midwest Gaming Set Conference.
Convention.
Yeah. Convention,
right?
Yeah.
Midwest Gaming Convention. Speaking of video games, since Dan's on here, I was curious, what do you think of the Switch 2? Apparently coming out in June, is there any reason that I should run right out and buy one, DP?
I don't have one yet, and I get one, so I think I might get that.
I mean... If you already have one, at this point, I don't see a reason why. I mean, it's obviously going to be a little bit better. I think the screen's slightly bigger. You know, the Joy-Cons are a little different, but I mean, it's...
I heard like no OLED display, you know, that sort of stuff, but the processing power will be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Basically, what we heard, we kind of reviewed it when we heard it before, I think, and what I took away from the review was basically instead of making any significant changes, they just made everything more powerful and a little bit bigger, right? They just kind of made a little bit better product of what they have. I know, like, the controls, there's a better docking system for those magnetically to the that wasn't so great the last time.
I mean, game-wise, it's like, from my standpoint, it's like, well, when you guys get, like, Wii and Wii U games on the Nintendo Online, that then give me a call because I'd really like to play some of that stuff again. But, you know, I'm not going to go and dig out my Wii or my fucking Wii U just to play Super Mario Brothers U. No.
I gave mine to my sister and now she has kids and I can't take it back.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
There you go.
No, they're just like the older one's is 5 and the younger one's going to be 3 next month. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's perfect time for them to have that specific gaming system. Honestly.
I mean, for the time, it was a revolutionary system. I mean, it's still, you still don't see things implementing that other than like, you know, VR and that sort of stuff.
But think about like the Wii Sports aspect for a 3 and a 5 year old to pick up.
Oh my God. Yes.
Like minutes and they could play for out. The replayability is insane. Right. And you're not just, you're teaching them coordination too, to be honest with you. There's tons of coordination in Wii Sports.
There, until you realize that you don't need to go through all the motions to like hit a baseball with the, on Wii Sports, or you just have to flick your wrist at the right time.
So when Dan and I lived together, our rooms were across from each other and like this was a place to be basically from 7 o'clock until about 9:30 when we actually went to the bar. And when it was cold outside, we'd play Wii bowling and I would sit across the hallway and through the door, they'd be in there playing and I'd have my controller and I would sit there, drink a beer in my recliner and just,
just flick the wrist.
Like, so like you said, you learn, the unnecessary motion, kind of like Golden Tee. If anybody has played a lot of Golden Tee, and if you play a lot of Golden Tee with me, you know that a large majority of the time, I do not pull the trackball back on shots. I just push it forward because it goes exactly straight where I want it to go. It might take a slight distance off, but when you pull that trackball back, if you slant it a little bit, you're changing your aim, but whatever.
Yeah, it's like the older I get with sex, I just tell my wife, look, there's a lot of unnecessary motion involved here, babe. It's just... You know, got to keep it real basic and just to the point.
Keeping it real goes wrong with Dave Ungar.
Preview of Game Gone Wrong right there.
Oh, shit. That's funny. All right. Should we switch over and talk some wrestling, guys?
I suppose.
Let's do it.
We do it? Do you guys want to hear the wrestling theme song?
Of course.
Well, the boss called me up and said, come in to work. I just hung up on that slave-driving jerk. I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. Well, you'd think I'd rather be sweating on a dock or watching somebody use a hammerlock. I'm going to wrestling.
Hammerlock, baby.
Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. Well, I love to watch the missing link bang his head on a corner post. And the rumper bumper butt delivered by the Iceman.
Watch out for the Iceman.
Why do I feel like DJ's narrating that song or something? I mean,
you might get to talk to DJ before this show is over.
I hope so.
Oh boy.
spoiler. That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. Elimination Chamber, guys. Let's talk the two non-Elimination Chamber matches first before we get into those other two matches, because I really want to get into what a win for each person could mean, right? And the probability of each one winning, right? Instead of just saying, here's who I think is going to win. Kevin Owens, let's start off with KO and Sami Zayn, because this is going to be a match that we're going to put up in both of their careers as one of their best ever, just because you know they're going to deliver with each other, Dave.
They will. It's going to be a hell of a match, but I don't think this is going to be the end of this, because they've got to be facing each other at WrestleMania. I don't know what kind of match you're going to do to top an unsanctioned match, but you know, you look at the WrestleMania landscape. We're a month and a half away, and it's like, well, what are these guys going to do? They got to do. It's got to be them in some form or fashion. But yeah, I think this is going to, and we've seen these guys wrestle so many times that you start thinking, what have they not done yet? That would be something unique and different, given how tight they were. You know, the main event of WrestleMania 39, tag team champions, ended the longest tag team championship reign of all time. And now we're here again. So I agree with you. It's going to be a tremendous match. I'm really looking forward to see what kind of story are they going to tell this time, but I can't imagine that this is the end of this situation.
Orton's got to come back at some point, and Karrion Kross has been up fucking Sami Zayn's ass, so I could easily see this being the end and those two guys moving those directions to WrestleMania, though. You never know, right, DP? What do you think?
That's true. Randy Orton's got to fit in here somewhere. Maybe it ends up going to a triple threat, or if they do something more with getting it into some kind of fatal four-way with Cody, potentially, or I don't know. We could talk more about that, but if they don't do that, I could definitely see them continuing this on into WrestleMania, and maybe they do just make it a triple threat or something. Because I think I probably see Kevin Owens coming out of this with the win, somehow like destroying Sami Zayn to a point where he goes away for a little while, and then they can stretch this out to get to WrestleMania. And maybe that's where they bring Randy Orton back, and Randy and KO kind of, you know, talk it out throughout the month here. And then Sammy comes back and, you know, they make it a thing. But yeah, it's tough to see it ending here, because it does seem like a WrestleMania would be a good place to end it. How do you top an unsanctioned match, though? If it's just them two, you do like an I quit or hey, something. I mean, I don't know where else you go to make it better than the brutality they can do with this match.
I mean, you could do a Hell in a Cell, but it's like, maybe Last Man Standing. Or, well, here's what I was thinking. These two guys would be perfect for a match that we haven't seen in WWE in like a decade. First Blood. You know, how ironic would that be for WWE, who was anti-blood for so long, to say, okay, let's do First Blood with these two guys at WrestleMania. Something that we've never had a First Blood match at Mania, I don't think. So that could be something kind of unique, but I do tend to agree with you guys. Randy Orton's got to get involved in here somewhere. And so that would make a lot of sense.
Hey, back in 2022, I quit matches, so let's not be doing any more of those. They're pointless. They really fucking are.
So you're okay with submission matches, right? Just not I quit matches.
Submission?
Yeah, just a submission match, not an I quit match, because there's really no difference, but hey.
Well, there is. In a submission match, you're in a hold. In an I quit match, it's usually like I'm about to like bash you with a spiked bat.
Okay, I got you.
Wife, or you know,
are you pussy out like no Batista more. Did against Cena? And I quit. I'm gonna fucking AA you anyway.
I wasn't thinking of the same pile driver when I said I'm gonna pile drive your wife, but anyway, we can move on. another one for the Tunster. I don't even know who that guy is.
Coco Beachwear with the Ghostbuster, Coco baby.
Beachwear all up in your face, baby. Well, I, you know, either way, it's always good when you got Sammy and KO doing their thing. KO's like mic work and promos have just been ridiculously amazing, even for him. The stuff from the car was great for a while there.
He's really the best when he's like unhinged and can just kind of riff on this stuff, like more of a heelish side. Like he's great either way, but like when he gets onto this type of rant, it's like just so damn good every time.
If I was going to ask him a question, like, which do you enjoy more, being a heel or a face? I wouldn't even ask that question. I'd just say, tell me why you enjoy being a heel more, you know, like not even going to, I know you do. I can see it.
You can have so much more fun with it. Again, he does.
Yeah, cause he can just be levels of douchebaggery, you know, and that sort of thing. And it just feeds into who he is, and he's more serious, you know, when he's a heel. He's very serious and very dangerous. You look at his best matches, you can count on one hand the number of ones that have been when he was a babyface. But when you get a heel, you got Cena, you got the Sami Zayn matches, you've got all the stuff he did as Universal Champion. And yeah, I mean, he's just so much better as a heel. Sammy's kind of the opposite, you know, ironically enough.
Yeah, Sammy plays the underdog really well. You know, can much more relate to Sammy being the underdog. Let's talk about establishing a face, though, and what they're trying to do with Tiffany Stratton, pairing her up with Trish Stratus in Toronto, taking on Nia Jax and Candice LeRae, and kind of a meaningless tag team match, if you ask me, besides the fact that it's Trish. She's the woman's Goldberg, and we're trying to get Tiffy over as a face, so, you know, people will boo Charlotte more, I guess.
Yeah, they I mean, Trish Stratus in Toronto, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, that works out perfectly, right? On the road to WrestleMania too, so yeah, I mean, what better way to help Tiffy even more get over? I mean, I think she's already well over as a baby face, and you know, Charlotte will probably end up getting involved somewhere in this match. I'm assuming we'll be down at ringside or something, probably, or whatever, but yeah, I mean, everybody loves to boo Charlotte, so you know, that's an easy transition to just put her back in the heel position and have her face Tiffy. And yeah, it's kind of in a sense a meaningless match, but it's just a way to get Trish out there and have a good pop for her and give her the exposure and, you know, the rub to Tiff. I'm sure she's gonna get the win here, and I'm assuming pin Nia, because that's not direction they're going, and they can finish that off and move on with their Charlotte and Tiffany feud to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think DP's on the right track. Absolutely. Trish Stratus in Toronto is going to be, you know, Tiffy can just draft off that and gain face points by just being there with her. So I think she wins. This is all about trying to see. Tiffany Stratton is already very over, and I know she caught a lot of flack for the promo a few weeks ago, which I didn't think was that bad. Then people like never give her a mic again. It's like, she's not like Ricochet, for fuck's sake. You know, that sort of thing. So I didn't buy into all that kind of stuff, but, I think, you know, with Tiffany Stratton, you want to take her to that next level. I don't know at this point whether she beats Charlotte or whether Charlotte's, you know, gets number 15 at WrestleMania. They're probably playing that by ear, seeing like, okay, how are the crowd going to react to her? We really want to get Tiffany over so that when she wins, it'll be received better. But if she can't cut it, we've got our old reliable, Bret Hart. I mean, Charlotte Flair, that we can just kind of go back to and give the put the belt back on her.
I would like to think that they already have made up their mind, but for some reason in the back of my head, I feel like they're sitting there going, okay, Tiff, we're waiting for you to give us a reason not to take the belt off of you. You know, like I think Hunter's sitting there, you know, Charlotte wants to know, and Hunter's like, just hold on, I'll let you know next week.
I mean, I really thought Charlotte versus Rhea was the money match. And I didn't see them going in this direction.
It's been, we've had that twice already now. We don't need it yet.
No, we don't. But I mean, but I think you're right. Like, Hunter's probably using this as Tiffany Stratton's litmus test. Look, I know you can do it all in the ring, but you got to show me something more. Where's that extra level of charisma that I need to say, yeah, I can have you beat Charlotte Flair and it's going to create a WrestleMania worthy moment. Show me what you got. Pairing her with Trish Stratus is a good way to do that. We've seen, you know, Becky Lynch did the same thing with Trish a couple years ago until Trish stabbed her in the back, that sort of thing. So yeah, it all makes sense to me.
There's something they can do to really get the crowd on her side.
And Becky come out and endorse her?
Nope. They can have the relationship between her and Ludwig play out on screen and have him treat her badly and her leave him or break away from him. Makes him a bigger heel, makes her sympathetic. And it's an on-air thing. They've done this with so many real-life couples. Now, whether or not their real-life relationship could handle that, I don't know. I could tell you Vince wouldn't give a fuck. I'm sure Hunter would.
Vince would go full urban cowboy with this shit and just have Ludwig slap the shit out of Tiff Strand or something.
But do you see what I mean? You could totally get more villainous Ludwig and a more empathetic Tiffy if you did it right. I mean, it's the storyline that they should be using over the next 7 weeks.
Right. And I mean, it's hard to get that empathy for Tiffany Stratton because you look at her, it's like she's had everything given to her on a silver fucking platter. What has she actually struggled to actually get to achieve? Nothing.
And you don't have to make Ludwig look bad as like a bad boyfriend that you think of, like, either, you know, mentally or verbally or physically abusive. He could just be the super jealous guy. Like, he's just not happy for her. He's mad that he isn't getting a big spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. I think it just feels like Tiffany needs something extra to get to that next level. Charlotte should be the one to bring her there. I mean, yeah, would it have been better for Becky based on the chemistry that we've seen Becky and Tiffany Stratton have in the past? Yes, I absolutely believe Becky would have been a better option here, but that's not what we've got.
We're going to get into a Becky-Charlotte argument at the end of the show.
Okay.
It's true.
We will. Yes, absolutely.
Should we move on to the Elimination Chamber, women's style?
Let's go. Let's go chambering. We're going to be chambermaids.
Least likely to win the chamber. On three, you guys, you got the name in your head?
Least likely to win?
Yeah, least likely on three. We'll all say it together. If you got it, you got it, Dave, Dan, you got it. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Naomi.
Sorry, Naomi. We love you.
You ain't winning this.
No. I mean, DP, is there anything you can, I don't like Naomi and Rhea. I don't.
No, okay. Not at all. And, you know, for not only for the other competitors in here that are, you know, have a better odds to win it, or, you know, that you could see wrestling Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, but for also the story that they're telling between Naomi, Bianca, and Jade, that it just doesn't make any sense for her to win on top of it too. So throw that on there as well. Like, I don't see her coming out of here with it. I mean, that's an easy one.
Yeah. It's not Naomi. I mean, you know, honestly, Liv's close behind her for least likely to win. Cause we've seen Liv and Rhea enough times that there's no fucking way she's, and they just won the tag titles. So that makes zero sense.
Alexa's probably there too.
Yeah. Like I told Rob, we were talking about this the other night. Well, you saw the conversation. Alexa's my dark horse to win because she's so popular. Nobody expected her to come back. If the Wyatt Six are going to get involved and Alexa turns into dark Alexa, then what's up, Tony?
I called her coming back.
Yeah, you did call her coming back. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, no, I just wanted Dan to ring the bell. Can you play Barry Horowitz?
No.
No, yeah. Don't play it. I was kidding. Don't play it.
I mean, I think if she was to win and the Wyatt Six got involved, that could make a very interesting story. But yeah, she's a long shot as well.
There's another thing that I predicted.
What's that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, last time Eddie on a wrestling show talked about the Wyatt Six.
Yeah, what did you predict? Mediocre. Yes. Okay, got it.
It's the same thing as when Bray was around. There's no story. It doesn't go anywhere.
There's nothing.
There's just people in masks doing nothing. They're not even having wrestling matches really half the time.
They started hot and then nothing. Crickets.
Yeah. They're not even barely doing vignettes or anything. Like at least Bray was doing that.
Roxanne Perez. I am predicting her to win. And here's why. We don't need Bayley and Rhea. We don't even need Bianca and Rhea. Bianca and Rhea makes the most sense outside of what I, in my mind, and we'll get to that. But why not Roxanne? You don't need to build Bayley. You don't need to build Bianca. Like, you don't even need to add to Bayley's legacy. You can add to Bianca's legacy still, and we'll need to, yes. But why not make Roxanne? Like, no one sees it coming. I know she's got stuff going on in NXT with things that doesn't make this likely, but I still think that would be such a smart move to just fast track her right into another main event woman on the main roster. She's ready. She's totally ready. And that giant Rhea versus Roxanne, that David versus Goliath story here would be so fucking cool. I'm going to officially make that my prediction.
Wow. You know, that would certainly be an interesting way to go. I'd love to keep her on the main roster. I don't know if they'd really push her right to a title match here, but you know, obviously she's been phenomenal.
I don't even in my mind, if you do this, you have her beat Rhea. Like, let's make a star. Yeah. I don't even have her just pushing her that. I've ever winning the fucking title against the hottest women's wrestler since Becky got punched in the fucking nose by Nia at WrestleMania. Let's make that impact. Why not? Tell me why not.
Because there's a bigger match.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the easiest explanation. I've been saying it for a while now, and I'm going to stick with it. I listened to your guys' podcast, listened to Big Five, listened to Greg DeMarco's show. Yeah, I think it's Bianca. I think they're going to go Bianca Rhea. They've been teasing this, dancing around this for 4 years. And, you know, like 2 years ago when Rhea selected Charlotte instead of Bianca, which was a surprise. I said, wow, they really kind of swerved. I didn't see that one coming. When Charlotte chose Tiffy, it opened the door for this thing. And I'm like, looking at this thing, and I'm with you. Like, I know, Tony, in the past, you kind of thought maybe Bayley. And then she kind of showed up at Vengeance Day and didn't look that great at Vengeance Day. And like you're saying, we don't need Bayley versus Rhea. I love the Roxanne Perez pick. I think that would be really an awesome story to tell. I love that David versus Goliath dynamic. Honestly, you can get that from Alexa and Rhea as well, because she's the same sort of stature size wise. But I think with all the stuff people are talking about, the women's division being booked so poorly, and part of that is because of Rhea Ripley, because who are you going to put up against her who's a credible challenger? There is one woman in this match who you can do that with. That's Bianca Belair. They need a night one main event. It's not going to be Jay versus Gunther. Rhea versus Bianca makes the most sense for the Saturday main event. I'm going to go with her. I think we're overdue for this match. Let them tear the shit out of each other.
My only fear is that's the odds on pick. Like if someone gave me money and said, you know, if you don't make money with this money and you have to bet on this, I'm betting on Bianca, right? But I don't know. What if we get Seth and Roman? Where does that go? Opening match night two?
Maybe. Middle of it. I mean, it's like, God, would you put that in the middle of the card? I mean, Roman Reigns has been, Roman's been in the main event for how many years in a row now, right? So I guess he doesn't need that rub.
I mean, listen, like you said, no disrespect to Jey Uso, you know, damn near disrespect to Gunther the way he's been not so great as champion. But they don't need to, they shouldn't be in the main event either night. And Rhea and Bianca, yeah, they're probably the best two women's wrestlers in the world right now.
Now, if we get something unexpected and somehow we are getting Roman versus Rock, which I don't think is happening, but there is a slight chance that that's happening.
Interesting. Then, yeah, we'll talk about it shortly.
Yeah, then it's like, okay, now what do we do?
Yeah, that might be the only way. Yeah, that could be the night one match or something, because if you want to get a women's match at the end of one of the nights, I think it's got to be Bianca and Rhea. Then if you're going to do that, because I think I like the idea of Alexa Bliss winning this thing. And yeah, it's kind of the same, like you said, David and Goliath type thing. And if they're not ready with Roxanne, you know, you get the same idea, you know, with that. And Alexa Bliss is already well established and well over. So that would totally make sense. So if you're going to have that finish the first night, yeah, like you gotta, like Bianca and Rhea's where it's at. And obviously that's probably the odds on favorite. And I mean, you can have Jey and Gunther Alexa start won off. She won the first Elimination Chamber. Yeah.
Alexa won the first one. Yeah. So the women's match is going to be very interesting, but kind of think I know where they're going, but I like the mix of the girls involved. I really do, because you've got powerhouses, you've got the smaller girls, you've got girls who can go, flat out go, and that should make the match really good.
I want to say something before we actually get into the build to WrestleMania, not just on the road to WrestleMania. You guys know WrestleMania isn't two nights, right?
It's three.
Is this like the Stone Cold Steve Austin Kevin Owens didn't have a match thing again? Is that what we're doing here?
I'm glad you're finally understanding, Dave. But yes, DP gets it. WrestleMania starts on Friday now on SmackDown, because I've heard some people think about, like, man, how many matches are you going to have this year? Because we have all these different rivalry matches that have to get on, and then you have all these other titles. Well, let's go back to the Friday before WrestleMania. The SmackDown right before WrestleMania the past couple few years, maybe even more. That's where a large majority of your US and IC and women's tag team titles get defended. And now, at the state of one of the men's tag team divisions, I would definitely put that definition up for a fucking SmackDown tag team title match. So I just want to remind people that when you look at this card, as we start to now talk about the men's Elimination Chamber, let's play the game again. Everybody got their name of least likely to win the Elimination Chamber? I got mine.
I got two. Can I say?
There is two.
I got one.
There's three, actually. I have three. There's three. Yeah. But
I'll go with one.
Everybody got their least likely? I'm just going to say his last name, okay? One, two, three. Priest.
Oh. Both of mine were Paul and Priest, obviously.
Paul Priest and McIntyre are not going to win.
Correct. Absolutely.
And CM Punk's going to face Logan Paul at WrestleMania.
That's got to thrill him to no end.
And Seth Rollins is going to face Roman Reigns. And if John Cena isn't wrestling Cody, what the fuck does he do? So, guys, I'm sorry. This is the briefest conversation we're going to have today. John Cena wins, right?
Probably. I'd say 75% John Cena wins. The only other 25% is CM Punk, just to get him in the main event. But then again, Punk has that favor to call in. So like you got, and I listened back to your show. I listened to Tony when we did Big Five and you asked me that question and I paused you. So that's exactly the reaction me and Dan had. Yeah. What does John Cena do? If not, he's not in the main event. I really have no idea. And it may, and really if this is John Cena's last WrestleMania, he's gonna be facing Cody for the championship. That's nothing else makes sense. Nothing else does his legacy any sort of justice. It's got to be John Cena winning this thing through an enormous amount of fuckery going on. Probably Roman Reigns saving him, destroying Seth Rollins. I'm with you guys. I think it's got to be John Cena. I mean, I'm 75% sure the Punk factor is the only thing I'm waffling on, but you know, Logan Paul slapped CM Punk in the face Monday night. That's not going to stand. You know that Punk's going to whoop his ass at WrestleMania. It's very similar to 2 years ago, right? With Logan Paul and Seth Rollins. This is almost a carbon copy of that feud starting right now.
That is 100% true.
Ring the bell for Dave.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to get so good. I'm going to get no, beer.
I have no idea how you try it. If you wanted to even punt that to another pay-per-view after WrestleMania or something, if you slotted CM Punk to be in the title match, I don't know how you do that at this point, you know, after that. So it just seems obvious that that's the way they're going to go. I mean, the only thing I've been touting is it going to be some kind of, you know, multi-person match against Cody for the title, you know, like that's the only other way you get it. You get that done. If you want to have some of these other guys in there and, the way they've been starting the story, it does not seem like that's the case.
Dan, I was going to put this. Somebody posted this, and I kind of chuckled about it. Like, let's do like WrestleMania 2000 all over again. Yeah. We've got somebody in every. You got a fatal four way with somebody in everybody's corner, and it's just, you know, a fatal four way elimination match with Cody, Roman, Seth, or Cody, Cena, Punk, and
bring back Linda.
But when's the last time they've done that? Like, they don't do that anymore. It's always one on one.
They've never done,
you know?
Yeah, they've never done. When's the last? Well, what? 37, right? We had the triple threat with Roman, Edge, and Daniel Bryan. That's the last time we had a multi-man match for the big title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's not often that it happens at WrestleMania anymore.
It's funny I'd include the women's triple threat match on that level that main evented WrestleMania.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, John Cena winning this thing makes the most sense. I mean, there's at this point, nobody else in this match is going to end up coming out with this thing, which is just, I don't know, just makes it really strange, I guess, because I know my theory of or my thoughts on how Cena gets his title matches, but it's tough.
This stuff. So I like it even more now that The Rock wants to be like Cody's mentor, because now you're going to get, this is where you get Cena Rock interaction in his last year, right? Cena's got to hit. If you don't think John came in and said, I have a checklist and I don't care where you put the checks, how you check the marks, Paul, check them. And Paul said, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for coming back for a whole year.
And Cena says, I want this to end with three times in a lifetime. That's all that matters to me.
No. I think the interaction you just get is between Rock and Cena, where Rock is still mentally fucking with Cody, and Cody's like, Cody is begrudgingly leaning into what Rock wants while Cena's trying to warn him about he doesn't want to necessarily become the kind of person The Rock is or something like that, you know? I still think we're getting Cena's title win in December at Ruthless Aggression.
Is that his last match? Or
his last match will be at that pay-per-view in Boston. And I think he's going to lose at WrestleMania. And we go right on our merry way with what Dan and I were talking about. He mentioned Elimination Chamber. Fine. He can be successful there to get his shot, but he's not going to finish the story, quote unquote, at WrestleMania, I don't think, because he still has to sell tickets for Money in the Bank. He still has to sell tickets for possibly like a blood feud ending thing at once in the, you know, second last time ever against whoever, Randy Orton, SummerSlam or something.
You're absolutely right. This could be such a great story with John. Like, and you said it since this whole thing started. I remember talking to you guys. It's like
me. Dan and I came up with this together, like
the chase that is going to drive this story, not John Cena getting the title the 17th time. That's where the story needs to end. 17th title, say goodbye, title's vacated. They have the fucking match at the Royal Rumble next year for the championship. That's fucking perfect. That's how you do it. But I think the story that you can tell between WrestleMania 41 and Ruthless Aggression, that's where the money's at. That's where Triple H can show, I really do know how to tell a story and to craft a compelling story with John Cena trying to overcome everything to get to that, to finally win that 17th championship.
I'm going to make a prediction for next year's Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
Okay.
John Cena just defeated somebody at Ruthless Aggression and retires the Monday after on Raw, right?
Yep.
And he says, this is the last time you're going to see me as an active superstar, right? The next time you see me, I'll
be in the Hall of Fame.
Back. Always be back. Always be home. He wins the World Heavyweight Championship, by the way, not the WWE title, because they need Cena's name on that legacy of that belt, right? And why shouldn't John have, well, why wouldn't he want that too, I think? Who wins the Royal Rumble?
Oh, I already know.
The Rock?
Nope.
You know why? Because we finally get Rock and Roman at WrestleMania, and Roman beats Rock.
That'd be cool. I think Punk wins the Rumble and wins the championship next year and gets his main event at WrestleMania.
Against Seth Rollins, maybe?
Yep.
Finally get the title match. The title back.
What if he holds on to that favor?
And that could be a really good story to tell. You know, Punk gets frustrated this whole year, has to deal with Logan Paul, but the payoff is, here's what we're going to do. You win the championship at the Rumble. You go to WrestleMania as the champion and then you get your main event. Just got to wait a year for it, Phil. What do you think? He's like, fuck it, let's go.
Punk and Roman could main event night two if they did it right.
They could.
What if he holds on?
I mean, as long as he's a champion, everything's on the table. I mean, literally everything.
It's like the Heyman in a shark cage storyline.
What if Punk holds on to that favor until that time and says, "Hey, Heyman, you get me 30. Get me number 30.
Roman pulls 30 and he finds out somehow and they owes him, so he gives him 30. I don't find here, give it to him. Yeah, now the favor's still here about
as
anymore.
As long as Punk is
and
the
then
heel.
That's how they get the And that's yeah, how they
as
feud.
Long as Punk is the heel champion going into that main event, that's all I give a shit about.
Yeah, the payoff there is to get Roman full blown face back after that WrestleMania win.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
I agree.
Yeah. I like it. Well, all right. We don't have to. We don't have to podcast for a year. We already booked the whole year out. We're good.
There you go. Booking. Bye, Tony.
These conversations are so fun to have with people that you've been having them for as long as we've been having them, right? Like, the three of us have been having these booking conversations about specifically WWE main roster for, what, 8 years?
Eight and a half years?
Almost 9 years the three of us have been working together. Us, me and Dan have been working with Dave.
Yep.
So it's just fun. It's fun when we look at it from a perspective of, we're not trying to mark out. We're not trying to tell you we know everything. We're just trying to say, ask the right questions and lead us down the right path. Like, okay, if A and B aren't successful, then why should C make it happen? You know what I mean? So thrilled to have those conversations. All right, we got a last call. Let's take one more commercial break, DP. And when we come back, we're going to discuss SI's top 10 WWE female stars of all time. This is DWI 465 with our best friend Dave Ungar of Attitude of Aggression. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Last call. Bye. minutes, let's go.
What do you mean? What do I mean? The time for running is running out.
Oh, boy.
We may not be the mindless bearded man, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. He's got a little bit of time here. Let's pull up that list, gentlemen. It is in our Chair Shot Radio thread, and once you pull it up, it's right there. By the way, I'd love me some old school wrestling card posters. I think the one I found on the internet on X today is pretty sweet. Did you guys check that out in there?
Yeah, I saw that right above the list.
Yeah,
those are cool looking.
They are. Those are fun. I wish I had a bigger printer and laminator, and I would just make some giant movie posters of all those. You know, fill like the bar room, like just. And keep just do they have the last 12, right?
Oh, just what, keep rotating them.
Yeah,
nice.
All right, SI's top 10 WWE women all time. Should I start at 10? Number 10, Alexa Bliss. Number 9, Bianca Belair. Number 8, Asuka. Number 7, Chyna. Number 6, Bayley. Number 5, Sasha Banks. Number 4, Lita. Number 3, Trish Stratus. Number 2, Charlotte Flair. Number 1, Becky Lynch. DP, first thoughts when you see that list?
That was hard to argue any of them. I mean, those all made sense to be on the top 10 to me. First thing I would have saw would be, I probably would put Charlotte Flair at number 1. It's arguable, for sure. But I think over the course of time here so far, I think Charlotte's at this point number 1. But it's hard to move a lot of those around and or put somebody else in there. There's not many other ones I thought of. I felt like maybe Asuka could have been a little higher. But as far as when it comes to contributions, we're talking WWE. Maybe not. Bianca Belair is not quite done. I think she's got possibility to move up. Sasha Banks probably goes down a little bit at this point. But otherwise, I don't know. Bayley at 6, maybe a little lower. I think that one's a little high for me. But otherwise, you could move a few of them around, but it's hard to really argue with this list. It's a pretty solid list.
Dave, this has to be a WrestleMania era list.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the one
without it, you know, the fabulous Moolah's in the top three. Mae Young's right. In the
Wendy,
top 10.
Wendy Richter, like that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to put Moolah after hearing what Moolah has done to women in her training thing. I can't put her on the list anymore. So that's the only reason why.
That's not there's what her and Mae Young did, Dan.
Yeah. There's one change I would absolutely make with this list, for sure. I would put Rhea Ripley at 10 and get rid of Alundra Blaze, because I think Rhea Ripley, if you got Bianca on there, and as dominant as Rhea Ripley has been as a champion, and her impact on the industry, she belongs in the top 10. Alundra Blaze was good for her time. Yes, sir.
Alundra Blaze would say the same thing you're saying, Dave.
She would. I mean, you know, her stuff with Bull Nakano, that's one thing. But when you look at the era that Alundra was in and the competition, she's going up against fucking Bertha Fay and losing. And Rhea Ripley's not doing that right now. So I think I'd put Rhea Ripley in the top 10. I would swap Sasha and Bayley. I would switch their positions, and put Sasha at 6, Bayley at 5. And then, yeah, man, 1 and 2 is a toughie. That's a really, I mean, and you know, you could make the argument Ronda Rousey belongs on the list somewhere, just for her impact on the industry. But Becky and Charlotte, man, I would probably at this point, I'd probably keep Becky at number 1, I think. And that's a tough call to make, though. But when you look at if Becky Lynch doesn't become the man, and I know Ronda had a tremendous amount of impact on that main event. But if Becky doesn't become the man and is viewed as a credible challenger to Ronda at a time where Ronda was just boat racing every woman on the roster, you don't probably get that main event we got at 35. So I would give Becky just a very, and Becky's got the better of Charlotte most of the times that they've fought lately, which hasn't been in a while. But yeah, I would probably give Becky, I'm okay with Becky being number 1, but you're really talking 1A and 1B. But for me, Rhea has to be in the top 10. That was the biggest omission that I saw from this.
I agree with Rhea. I'll tell you why I have Charlotte number one, and it's two reasons. One, her catalog of great matches is way better than Becky's. She's just better than Becky in the ring. And I'll give you Becky is better than Charlotte on the mic, but Charlotte is like the best women's wrestler in the ring ever. She's the Shawn Michaels of women's wrestling to me. And I don't care. You like DJ says, argue with the wall. But here's what gives me the edge of Charlotte over Becky, because that last name means something. And that last name did something for all of those girls. And if Charlotte didn't deliver on expectations like LeBron fucking James, we might not have the women being looked at the way they are today. So I need Charlotte there at number one for me. And Becky is so solidified at number two. And like you said, Dave, this isn't a Michael Jordan, LeBron James thing where it's clearly Michael Jordan. And if you think it's LeBron James, I'm sorry, Ray Cash, I still love you. But you can argue there is wiggle room in this argument. For me, for those reasons, it's Charlotte Flair.
Let me put, I love your argument. And if you're going to go down that path, and just bear with me here, Sasha Banks probably needs to be number three. If you're going to go down on pure match quality, because you look at this list and look at the great matches she's had with Becky, with Charlotte, with Bayley, with Asuka, with Bianca Belair, she's probably got the most high level matches of any. And I know we look at Sasha differently because she's Mercedes Moné and all that shit. And that tapers a lot of our view of her, but honestly, yeah, you could put her in three.
If you want to look at Bayley or Bayley, Sasha, just NXT and WWE, maybe. I wouldn't put her ahead of Trish still. I think Trish is way too important. Here's some moves I would make. Lita would move down, like way down. Lita would be a 10 for me. I think her impact was more as a valet manager to the Hardys, to Edge, even though she's definitely in the top 10. I would move China up. Way up.
She was the Intercontinental Champion.
She did.
Good luck finding anybody else you could say that about. Yeah.
I would have women's wrestling.
Becky at 2, Trish at 3, China at 4, leave Sasha at 5 for now. If you're going in that bubble, otherwise Bailey's at 5 and Sasha's at 6.
Like Mickie James or AJ Lee, you know, there's somebody who could slot in somewhere. Mickie James. Who do you knock off though?
Mickie James was the other one, maybe I thought, but yeah.
So yeah, you know what? If you want to include everything, take Sasha out and put Mickie James in.
That's the thing. This like is that, WWE. Like, are you specifying WWE?
Including all that, that's how bad it is. That's how cringe it is. Like, although honestly, Dave, if you think about it, Mickie James should be on this list. Mickie James is a better WWE Hall of she's Hall of Famer. Well, she's above Bayley and Sasha, to be honest with you, and Asuka and Bianca right now.
Here's why you can't ding Sasha, because they're saying top 10 WWE.
I know.
So you just put your blinders on and say, yeah, I'm not going to look at what's happening over in Jacksonville and Mercedes Moné and all that bullshit. But, there's a few places. It's a solid list. Like you guys said, it's a solid list. There's a few places you can quibble with this thing. I think Rhea has to be in the top 10. I think that's a no-brainer. Her omission from this list is, I'm not going to say criminal, but it's a misdemeanor. You know, that sort of, it's a traffic ticket, that sort of thing. But, yeah, the rest of it's a solid list. I mean, they're all. Yeah, where are you going to really quibble with it?
Yeah,
there you have it, folks. There you have it right there. Another edition of the DWI podcast. Any last thoughts you guys have from the shoot today? Anything you need to get off your chesticles before we get into the weekend? Huh?
I want to ask you guys, is Cody going to sell his soul to The Rock this weekend?
He's starting a new corporation.
He's begrudgingly going to lean into this one.
Well, you know, we've been we were talking, you know, Cody going heel, right? You know, I think it's like I think you guys are saying, we stretch it out. You know, we got a new corporate team. You know, the corporate thing instead of Vince running it, it's The Rock running it. you know, maybe at, you know, he doesn't really turn. We don't figure it out until WrestleMania, because that's going to make that story compelling, and him turning heel on Cena at WrestleMania. And
is this how the match ends at the main event of Night 2, Cena and Rhodes? This is how it ends. Low blow, Cody wins, John loses, instant heel turn.
Here's the other option that nobody is talking about. Let me just put this out there for you guys. Nobody's talking about this. Cody beats Cena clean at the end of WrestleMania, and it's Cena who turns heel and becomes corporate John Cena as he chases down the championship. I know Tony's leaning in like no, but everybody's been saying, let's turn Cena heel for how long? But you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it his last year in the business.
Insane. That's crazy. Get out of the basement. Stop smoking crack with your grandma.
You're the one with the drugs today, buddy.
I said I haven't even gotten to him yet.
I know you haven't gotten to him yet. Sorry. I thought it was cocaine and it was Drano. I'm sorry.
No, it was just ketamine. It's a different class. It's a lower class than cocaine. Apparently,
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
For Michael Jordan's son, I heard that it was actually, it wasn't cocaine, it was ketamine. So it's a less class offense.
Math.
Yeah, whatever. Dave, thanks for coming on the show. We always love to see you here. Talk a little wrestling.
I'm always thrilled to chop it up with you fellas.
Would you go ahead and promote what you got going on over there, Big Five wise?
Yeah, we just had dropped an episode of the Big Five. It will be dropping on the Chair Shot on Sunday, according to my scheduler. And we did cover the 1995 Royal Rumble, which is one of Tunney's favorite years in the history of the WWF.
Ben, I thought Dan was going to be on some of these. He
yeah,
came in.
DP needs to come back.
Doesn't sound right.
He came in for WrestleMania 10 because he liked it. But, you know, all these guys who think they're just going to be able to jump in during the Attitude Era and haven't paid any dues, you know? I mean, I know.
On the next episode, speaking of dues paying, on the next episode of the Big Five Project, it's WrestleMania 11. DP, you want to be a part of that?
I don't blame you.
WrestleMania 11. Is that Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam?
That's exactly
yeah.
right. He's like, I gotta watch. And also, based on stuff I've discussed with my consigliere, my counselor, my good buddy, you may be seeing some different stuff coming under the Attitude of Aggression banner in the near future. So we'll just kind of keep it there. But yeah, check us out at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. On X and Blue Sky, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, Instagram and Threads, and wherever else Tunney tells me to go.
As if I had all this power, folks. DP.
Yeah, you're the new He-Man of the Chair Shot. I wonder if you're going to start on Earth as well.
I'm not sure I started here or not. DP, where can we find you?
You find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs at It's Me DPP, and you can follow this show at Podcast DWI on that X thing you guys were talking about, and facebook.com/DWI podcast.
Elon's tax write-off.
I guarantee you when we stop and hit the stop button on the record, DJ is going to pop in here. But until then, follow me at PC Chair Shot, never call your favorite streaming platforms. Promise it, DZ.com/Chair Shot. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. Let's give them the old tagline. Don't drink and drive, folks. Drink and podcast.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors. But they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's vanta.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.